Have you ever felt like you're screaming into the void while everyone around you does the same? A Green Beret lands in an Afghan village in 2010. Buildings riddled with bullet holes, empty marketplace. Villagers stare with vacant eyes, silently wishing he'd leave. By day, American forces view them with suspicion and conduct night raids. By night, Taliban fighters leave threatening letters and public beatings for anyone who cooperates with Americans. These villagers are trapped in what's called the churn, caught between opposing forces, unable to trust anyone, just trying to survive. Now think about your own life. A 30-year friendship ends over a Facebook post about masks. Company executives scroll their phones during presentations, attention spans shrinking from 2.5 minutes in 2004 to 47 seconds today. 68% of employees feel disengaged at work. 75% of Americans have lost trust in their government, and 68% have lost trust in each other. We're living in our own version of the churn, distracted, disengaged, disconnected, and distrustful. The enemy isn't other people. It's the system that keeps us isolated, reactive, and afraid. But there's a way out, and it starts with understanding what makes us fundamentally human. Months after retiring from the Army, Scott Mann sat in his bedroom closet with a .45 pistol pressed against his chin. Disconnected, isolated, purposeless, he was having unpredictable mood swings that made his family walk on eggshells. When he heard his middle son come home with friends, reality crashed in. His kid might find him with his brains on the ceiling. Ashamed, he locked the pistol away. He couldn't live like this, but he couldn't die either. He needed to understand his own human nature. Think of an iceberg. What you see above water is only 20%. The other 80% remains invisible below the surface. Yet that's what sank the Titanic. Our lives work the same way. The visible tip represents our modern world, where the churn thrives. Below the waterline lies our ancient evolutionary roots governing relationships and ritual. Our brains are literally divided to navigate these realms. The left hemisphere focuses narrowly on manipulating and acquiring, while the right hemisphere maintains connection to our surroundings. But our technology-heavy world has disrupted this balance. We are well-dressed Neanderthals trying to live like robots. Most dangerously, social media has normalized contempt, giving us brief dopamine hits that feel righteous. This is the ecstasy of chaos, a momentary high that keeps us trapped while tearing apart our social fabric. Breaking through the trance requires connection. Green Berets in low-trust locations need three qualities: surgical precision, cultural intelligence, and the ability to unite disparate people around hard problems. These soft skills are actually hard, difficult to master, and, when properly used, very difficult to defeat. In Sarawak, Afghanistan, Mann's team made three promises to skeptical villagers. They'd leave if unwanted, things would get harder before easier, and they'd fight from the rooftops regardless of whether villagers joined them. Night after night, they fought alone against Taliban attacks, until finally, they heard it, a rifle shot from a villager's rooftop. Someone had decided to stand with them. This is rooftop leadership, inspiring reluctant, disconnected people to join us above the churn. This approach rests on five pillars: meaning, emotion, social connection, storytelling, and struggle. When Mann's father was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, he recalled his dad's lifelong wisdom: make sure you leave your tracks in this world. Mann's father exemplified this by restoring the American chestnut tree, developing blight-resistant varieties he'd never see, but his grandkids would. Once you discover your purpose, pursue it relentlessly. During the Afghan evacuation crisis, Mann's team exchanged tens of thousands of messages with virtually zero political arguments. Why? They surrendered to their shared purpose, honoring promises to allies. When emotions take over, our higher brain disengages. Our nervous system evolved to trigger fight, flight, or freeze responses, then process trauma through connection, resting, grieving, storytelling. Today, our ancient brain can't distinguish between a tiger attack and a plummeting 401k. Constant digital tigers keep our emotional temperature elevated, diminishing empathy. Managing emotional temperature is crucial. In Afghanistan, Special Forces Sergeant Carl resolved a deadly clan feud by maintaining calm and allowing everyone to listen. When announcing organizational changes, employees face primal fear. Instead of relying on logic alone, ask what the company stands for. Write their answers on a whiteboard, then say, "This merger is going through. I can't promise everything, but I'll fight for what's on this board." Leadership is fundamentally about managing energy. Practice micro recovery, 5 belly breaths during your day. Build macro recovery, planned rituals like date nights that zero out emotional baggage. Emotional repression is dangerous. Mann has lost 9 high-performing friends to suicide who pushed emotions down until they couldn't reach them anymore. In 2003, Green Beret Jim Gant formed an alliance with Afghanistan's Momin tribe by meeting 82-year-old leader Noor Afzal without armor or weapons, first atoning for past conflicts. Their relationship became so powerful that Osama bin Laden identified it as a major threat. Build diverse, meaningful relationships as strategic assets, not transaction tools. A crucial principle: build trust when risk is low, leverage it when risk is high. Transactional relationships collapse under pressure.
When Green Beret Romy Camargo was paralyzed in Afghanistan, he and his wife Gabby envisioned a spinal cord injury recovery center in Tampa. With no funding, they rented a dilapidated industrial space. When Toyota executive Simon Nagata visited, Gabby transformed the rundown facility through storytelling, pointing to empty spaces and describing the future. Though Nagata remained stone-faced, a single tear revealed he was moved. 3 weeks later, Toyota donated $250,000. Humans are story animals with brains wired for narratives. Stories aren't entertainment. They're how humans understand each other, providing meaning, context, and emotional connection that lodge in long-term memory. Your most powerful stories are built around pivotal moments, those life-changing instances that altered your trajectory. Living in Afghan villages taught Mann that context is everything. His team discovered young men killing earthworms, believing they harmed crops. Only by kneeling beside them in fields did they understand this reality and demonstrate that worms benefit crops. Being an empathetic witness means leaving ivory towers and getting into the trenches. When people sense genuine authenticity, their armor falls away.
Mann defines scars as an emotionally charged and often secret mark buried in the soul, earned through trauma and struggle, that has the potential to form connective tissue with the outside world. He reveals his survivor's guilt over fallen comrades. Working with a story coach forced him to speak their names, resulting in cathartic sobbing that freed him from shame. Years later, his TED Talk about his near-suicide attempt reached over 1 million viewers, helping others realize they weren't alone. Struggle is a biological necessity. When the brain builds new neural pathways to overcome challenges, we all experience this universal process. Leaders who integrate their struggles into their stories become immediately relatable and accelerate trust. Many leaders fear revealing struggle shows weakness, but without struggle, there's no story. During village stability operations in Afghanistan, Mann needed to connect with skeptical villagers. Having grown up on a tobacco farm, he shared his father saying that growing tobacco is the only form of farming where you slowly starve to death as you do it. The Afghan elders, relying on subsistence farming after years of drought, laughed in recognition. They connected through the universal experience of farming struggle. When you authentically share your struggles, people's armor falls away. Psychologist Carl Rogers observed that what's most personal is most universal. What matters deeply to you will matter to your audience. Don't share something unresolved or still white hot. A story can't effectively serve others until there's resolution. Mann's play Last Out became an Amazon Prime movie 3 months after Kabul fell. Thousands of veterans struggling with Afghanistan's moral injury thanked him for validating their sacrifice. What began as a seemingly crazy idea had grown into a multi-million dollar nonprofit touching thousands of lives. Research by More in Common reveals only 33% of Americans form the extreme political wings.
The remaining two-thirds, a Democratic supermajority, comprise the exhausted majority. They're not centrists. Their views are diverse. What unites them? Being fed up with polarization, maintaining flexibility, and believing in common ground. We've been here before. Early 1900s America faced severe wealth gaps and polarized politicians. Yet beneath that surface, things improved through civic organizations like Alcoholics Anonymous. Nobody is coming to save us, and that's fine. The power lies within ourselves. The exhausted majority is finding its voice. When it does, it will drown out the divisionists and lead us into better days. The question isn't whether change will come, it's whether you'll be part of creating it.